Welcome to episode 120 of the Highly Relevant Podcast, a Latinx show where I interview the people and discuss the moments that are shaping our American and Latino pop culture. My guest this week on the podcast is veteran Mexican actor Eric Heiser. You guys seen him on Netflix's Ingobernable. Well, he has a new show on Telemundo called Preso Número Uno, Prisoner Number One, which is a political thriller where he plays the president of Mexico, again, who is accused of a crime he didn't commit. We discuss why political themes have not been prevalent on Spanish language primetime, if English language Latinos will watch it, if he still auditions at this stage of his career, and his thoughts on how he sees social media in his professional and personal life. But before I talk to Eric, it's time to give you my weekly pop culture news recap in a segment I like to call Jacked In. Let's begin with the top movie news of the week. Javier Bardem is in talks to play King Triton in Disney's live-action Little Mermaid. Maluma is in talks to co-star in Jennifer Lopez's rom-com Marry Me. Puerto Rico film Imprisoned, starring Isai Morales, Edward James Olmos, and Lawrence Fishburne, will premiere September 10th. Oscar Isaac is set for an off-Broadway production of Chekhov's Three Sisters. Kate Del Castillo is in an off-Broadway show in New York. And Paul Rodriguez and Horatio Sanz are currently filming the CGI dog film Clifford in Brooklyn, New York. In TV news, Emmy nominations are out and there are major declines in diversity and inclusion. Mario Lopez has been officially announced as the host of Access Hollywood beginning September 9th. Gossip Girl reboot gets series order at HBO Max. And Jane the Virgin narrator Anthony Mendez receives his third primetime Emmy for PBS's Wonder Mexico. Switching over to music, Puerto Rico artists Residente and Ileana Cabra have released protest song Afilando los Cuchillos to support the resignation of Puerto Rico Governor Ricardo Rosselló, chairman of Univision Jaime Saban to launch a new record label. And Premios Juventud announces live performances by Maluma, Pitbull, Daddy Yankee, Romeo Santos, and Pedro Capó. And in tech and social media news, 150 million people have downloaded the Russian viral app FaceApp, but Democrats warn against it. Apple is planning to buy up original podcasts. Netflix's stock tumbles due to major loss of U.S. subscribers, and Instagram has expanded hiding its likes in seven countries, including Brazil, Italy, and Japan.
Alto!
Nombre completo, señor.
Carmelo Alvarado Mateos.
Ocupación, señor.
Presidente de la República.
Protesto guardar y hacer guardar la constitución política de la nación.
Hey, Eric, what's going on, man?
Everything's good. I'm glad to have the opportunity to talk to you.
You're starring in a brand new series on Telemundo called Preso Número Uno. And I think, you know, I think the first question to me is this a novella or is it a series? And what's the difference between both?
this is not a telenovela. This is not a soap. Actually, it's a series. But it's a longer than the series we're used to seeing in other networks. But the difference between a novella and the series is, first of all, the stories and the way we tell these stories and the production values too. With this one, we're trying to set higher standards in this long format series in open television, in a channel like Telemundo. We're trying to set higher standards, not only in terms of production, but also in the way we're telling the stories.
Interesting. So, Preso Número Uno, what is it about?
Well, it's a story of Carmelo Alvarado. He's a man that comes from a man who came from nothing to become the president of Mexico. It's a story about suspense, conspiracies, betrayal, and a lot of action. This story tells a lot about the relationship between Mexico and the U.S., but also it's a story about how corruption has brought a lot of problems to Latin America. It talks about how the economic power rules over the political power in our country.
You know, it's interesting because I've grown up watching Telemundo and Univision for such a long time, and it is so rare to see a story about politics, a political thriller, be on their network on prime time. Why do you think the themes of politics or political thrillers haven't really been a consistent mainstay in Spanish language primetime?
I guess because times have changed so much. I mean, we were used to see different stories in this network and in Hispanic networks. I mean, we were used to see formats closer to the telenovela or telenovelas like that, and we used to see only like love stories and
the Cinderella stories.
Yeah, but now I mean, times have changed so much that. This kind of story, like Preso Número Uno, it's not only it's necessary. I mean, people want to see products like these, products that go beyond entertainment, products which are closer to our reality, and I really feel that's why it's really necessary to tell a story like Preso Número Uno, because as spectators nowadays, we also want to see products that are closer to our reality.
Obviously, you're doing this interview in English. The show and the series is not in English. It's spoken in Spanish. But
That's
there
right.
is a bilingual market now that the television networks have embraced. Because mm-hmm. before, they would ignore that bilinguals would be even interested in Spanish language TV. But as an actor who's working in Spanish and English and so forth, in your particular case, do you believe, what are your thoughts on bilinguals who are more American and maybe English first, do you believe that they're still interested in watching Spanish language content?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it really has to do with the quality and the kind of stories we're building up right now in the Hispanic market. 10 years ago, you couldn't believe that someone which only speaks English would be interested in watching an Hispanic or a Latin production with subtitles. That didn't happen before.
But, right.
What's happening right now is that everything's like globalized. We're starting to produce and to tell like international stories now. Stories that have to do much more with the human being than with the situations and with the stories we were telling before. So right now we're... This, I mean, it's totally global what we're doing. We're telling stories which include not only Latin and Mexican customs, but we're talking about human beings. And that's why I really think that the U.S. market, it's starting to look at us in a very different way.
So on Netflix, you played also the president of Mexico in Ingobernable,
right.
And now you're playing the president of Mexico again. Is this headed towards some sort of typecasting for you? Or are you okay with that?
No, actually, it's a challenge for me. I had to go through saying no at the beginning and then saying no again and then saying yes, I will play this president in this story of president.
Why did you want to play this again? Because there's a lot of actors that complain about not doing the same thing over and over again. And it's the problem I've had with, you know, I've spoken to with Kate del Castillo. She's mm-hmm. always playing the strong, fearless woman that's running for her life with a gunner in her hand, you know?
Yeah.
And I was asking her, do you feel like you're being typecast, that that's the only thing that people want you to do, but your artistic sensibility is always screaming for different types of challenges where you can demonstrate your versatility? So why did you do this?
Because it represents a challenge for me, and they're totally different characters, even though they're both presidents. This character now, Carmelo Alvarado, it's a totally different character from Diego Nava, which was the one that I played before in Ingobernable.
Mm-hmm.
And why am I saying that? Because they come from two totally different places. And the story itself, it's both stories are completely different. So that's why I took the challenge, because I'm not afraid of being compared, and there's no way that the characters can be compared other than there are presidents. I mean, they're totally different. So that's why I said yes, and I'm playing a president again.
Do you still even audition?
Yes.
Okay, what is that like? What is that like for you still at this stage of the game?
scary. That was the first word that came to my mind. No, I still audition. I mean,
what was the last time you auditioned for a project?
2 weeks ago.
and what is that experience like? Because I think, you know, for someone like you who's been working and gigging for such a long time, do you at some point start saying to yourself, you know what, I don't want to audition anymore. I think my resume speaks for itself. I should just walk in and get the gig. And if not, I'm not auditioning anymore.
Yeah, it happens from time to time. But whenever that happens, I think that that's my ego talking. Mm. So I try to put my feet on the ground and say, hey, it's always challenging. It's always exciting to go to an audition. And it's also... for me, it has to do really with putting my feet on the ground again and saying, hey, Eric, you have to earn it every step of the way.
How do you describe this stage of your career compared to when you were younger, just starting out in the business? Does it get easier, Eric, or does it get more difficult?
I don't know if the word it's easier, but it's I can enjoy it much more right now. And I say I really can enjoy it much more because now I'm getting... the opportunity to choose my projects. Before, I was working in whatever project I could do because I was building up a career. And that's the only way to get new experiences, to get better and better. But right now, I really can say that I enjoy it much more because I get to choose the type of characters and the type of projects I want to be a part of.
Now, what about English language television, movies? There's a lot of Hispanics that I've spoken to that sometimes feel a bit afraid or almost intimidated of working in these productions because they have felt a form of discrimination, a form of you're a star in your market, but once you go into English, that stardom begins to diminish and people just don't want to deal with it. A lot of actors just don't want to deal with it. They'd rather stay in their zone. In your particular case, do you want to work in English language TV or do you want to stay in Spanish language TV projects?
No, definitely. I want to do it. As I was telling you before, I've always been like an actor that loves changing, that loves challenges. That I don't like to repeat my characters or my looks, and I'm constantly moving to places where I don't feel comfortable. So yes, I was almost closing down a project a couple of weeks ago that was going to be an English speaking. And yes, that's something that I want to do for the next projects. And not only in English, I mean, I also speak French and I also speak Flemish. So I would love to keep on working in other languages too.
Okay, you got to tell me about the Flemish part. How do you know Flemish?
I did my last year of high school in Belgium as an exchange student, and I was living in the Flemish part. So that's how I got to learn Flemish and also French.
Preso Número is coming out in July. Do you sit down on the premiere in your sofa and watch yourself on TV on opening night? Or is it something that, I'm not going to do that. Let everybody else watch it. Or do you indulge in the work that you do?
Yeah, I love doing it. I mean, before I couldn't do it. I was too critic with myself. But I don't know, for the past 5 years or 6 years, I've been trying to enjoy it. And so yeah, definitely whenever I have a premiere of a series or a feature film, I'm always there.
We should definitely do like a party, like your fans, the press, come to your house, watch
that
it together.
And
yeah, you know, have like a big party for that.
Well, my house is not that big. I mean, my apartment, I wish I had more space so I could really invite everyone over. But yeah, that's where I try to connect. I mean, I do lives and I do a lot of Instagram stories so that fans feel that they're with me watching the premiere.
That is so cool. Bueno, Eric, thank you so much. Appreciate your time and congratulations on the work that you're doing. I think for a lot of people, they're going to start thinking that you're the real president of Mexico as opposed to Andres.
let's see what happens. Let's hope that brings them closer to the story we were telling.
Last question, social media. Are you an active participant in social media? Do you like social media? Do you feel that social media is bad for people? Like, what is your take on social media and how do you interact with it?
I like social media. I mean, I'm not one of these people that that has their telephone and it's on their telephone all the time, connecting with social media and uploading images about what they had for breakfast or what they're doing. I try to connect from the professional part, trying to be closer to my fans and to all these spectators that watch everything that I do. Whenever I have a new project and whenever I'm doing something professionally, but definitely I think that the social media, it's necessary to not only for not only personally but also professionally. It's it puts you on the spot.
Thank you so much, Eric. Thanks a lot for being on the podcast.
Thanks to you. Great talking to you, Jake.
And before I head out, here are four Latin tracks you might want to add to your playlist this weekend. Amor, te siento cerca cuando estamos lejos, porque te llevo aquí en mi corazón, no sé perder. Querer Mejor, Juanes and Alicia Caro. Quizá mañana cuando estemos viejos, y se nos arruga un poco el corazón. I love it when you call me, señorita, I wish I could pretend. Señorita, Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello. La canción, Bad Bunny y J Balvin. Justo cuando creía que por comerme a dos o diez te olvidaría. Y yo no sé cómo explicarte que a tu lado quiero estar, no puedo apartarme. Y al tomarme de la mano, te sigo yo a cualquier lado. Como amigo, Katia. And that's it for episode 120 of the Highly Relevant Podcast. I want to thank Eric Heiser for coming on the show. And if you'd like to support this podcast, please spread the love on social media and tell all your friends about it. You can reach me on Instagram at Jack Rico and on my Facebook page at Jack Rico 40. Remember, it's only through your support that the show can grow. I'm Jack Rico. See you next week on another episode of Highly Relevant.